Great.
All right, so last week I introduced you to God's boot camp and how he literally drafted Elijah. And God had a pre-ordained plan for Elijah. And that plan necessitated Elijah to trust God 100%. And Elijah needed to be reminded. In fact, he didn't even know at this point, but before he could stand on Mount Carmel, he needed to first pass through the lesson of the dry brook that we talked about last week. And God wanted him to learn that before God could use him, he needed to train him. And so it is with Christians. Before he can use us greatly, God must sometimes first break us before himself. And you know, I am certain that all of us want to be used by God. But before he can put us on the battlefield as a soldier of the cross, he must first send us to boot camp. So before God can really use us, he must first remove all that hinders us from his will being done in our lives. So tonight, let's continue with Elijah's journey and explore a couple of elements of truth that we can apply to our lives today. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Last week, I talked about two things. The place that God ordained. That was the brook Cherith. God sent Elijah out into the wilderness. And the second thing I discussed was the promise that God offered. God promised Elijah that the ravens would feed him. Tonight, I want to cover the last two. The first one is the plan God ordered. The plan God ordered. And the second thing that we'll be covering tonight is the problem that God orchestrated. So turn with me, if you will, to 1 Kings 17 and look at verses 5 and 6. We're going to look at the plan that God ordered. The first thing that we have to understand is that the plan that God ordered was a sovereign plan. It was a sovereign plan. God was in absolute control of the situation. Look at verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Notice, these ravens, these scavengers, did exactly as God had commanded and brought Elijah food twice a day. Brook Cherith continued to provide cool, clean, crystal clear water. And all of this was ordered by God to teach Elijah that God was in absolute control. See, what we have to understand is that when the Lord puts us in a place where we can do nothing but trust in him, he has done you the biggest favor that he can extend outside of salvation. I know. Hard to comprehend that, right? God putting us in a situation where we have nothing else to do except to trust in him 100%. And that's what God wants for us. So when we come to a place where we're trusting in him and him alone, you know, we've grown to a great level of growth. Think about this. If you look back at when you first got saved to today, has your trust in God increased, stayed the same, or diminished? I'm sure that most of us would say it's increased since the day we got saved, right? And how is that? Because there were moments that God took us through a boot camp where the only thing we could do was trust in him. And so every time he takes us to that boot camp, guess what? I'm not going to say it gets easier, but what happens is that we learn quicker. For myself, I still can be very stubborn and very hard-headed. But thankfully, that stubbornness and hard-headedness and individuality is not long-term. It doesn't last as long as it used to. In the past, I used to think that I needed to solve a problem, and it was dependent upon me to solve that problem. And I would rack my head. I mean, I remember when I first got into the mortgage business, there were weeks where I would be getting like maybe 2-3 hours of sleep because, I was in bed for 5 hours, but I probably got 2-3 hours of sleep because the other 2 hours I was tossing and turning and worrying about a problem, trying to come up with a solution. But today, I may think about it and try to come up with a solution for maybe 30 minutes, an hour, but that 30 minutes, an hour is preceded by asking the Holy Spirit for wisdom, for guidance. And if it doesn't come to me within an hour, I move on to the next thing. I say, well, I'll just leave it up to you, Lord, and trust you in that particular situation. And for the most part, he's always worked something out. Oftentimes, it works out where everybody is happy, but there are times where it works out and I got egg on my face. And when I say egg on my face, I learned a lesson is basically what happened in that particular situation. But the point though is this, is that for Elijah, the plan that God ordered was a sovereign plan. The second thing I want to make about the plan was that it was a satisfying plan. Think about this. You might think to yourself, wait, Hugh, God sent Elijah to the brook Cherith, which was before the Jordan. So how can that be satisfying? Well, think about this. God sent him out there. God promised him that the ravens would feed him, and Elijah was able to experience that promise firsthand. He was able to experience God's promises to him. He received exactly what God told him he would receive. He found God to be true. You know, nothing means as much to a suffering saint as the peace of knowing that God is in control, right? Regardless of the circumstances, God is in control. You know, Hawaii has gotten, it's interesting because I was just looking at some statistics today. And the statistics basically showed the 10 states that had an increase in the Delta variant. Would you guys like to guess where those states were? Florida, Hawaii, Texas, South Dakota? No. The 10 states were all states that were run by Democratic governors. And I'm not here to make a political statement, but here's the question that I ask, is that if these 10 states have the highest vaccinated percentage of their adult population, how is it that they have the highest outbreaks of this Delta variant? The second question I have is this, specifically for the state of Hawaii. If masks work and vaccines work, why are we experiencing an outbreak? I'll wait. Those two questions cannot be answered logically. And that's the whole thing with everything that's going on with this China virus, is that all of the dictates that come down, all of the mandates that come down, they're not logical. I'll give you the first example. I'll just use this example. Why is it that when someone tests positive for COVID, they are instructed to go home and isolate themselves with no medication, no treatment whatsoever? Have you ever gone to a doctor's office with the flu or bronchitis or whatever it is, and the doctor said, oh, you got bronchitis, just go home and rest a bit. If you cannot breathe, then come back to the hospital. When has that ever happened? Never in modern medicine. But yet, that's what we're going through today. That's the reason why I'm saying none of this stuff makes sense. There are so many unanswered questions. And because of that, people have lost trust in government. But what is government made of? It is made up of sinful men, just like you and me. We are no better than our government officials. We all have a sinful heart. But there is one thing that we can trust in as Christians, is God and God alone. God's word, is it not truth? So if it's truth, why are we not, as Christians, adhering and reading as much as we can, especially in these times? Because the New Testament warns us about tinkling ears, people saying things that sound good, but they don't make sense. Because when you ask the question, somebody says something to the effect of, well, you know, we should raise the minimum wage to 20. They're talking about $25 now. We should raise the minimum wage to $25 so these people can have a living wage. My question to them is, then what? When you start raising the minimum wage to $25, first and foremost, there are people that are working, that have worked for most of their adult life, that are not making $25 an hour. What is the purpose of a minimum wage? The purpose of a minimum wage is to teach workers good work skills, like responsibility, commitment, good work ethics. How about all of those things? I'm sure that all of you, when you got your first job, that you did not qualify to be making more than what you were getting paid at that time. My first job was $1.60 an hour. I was, cleaning bathrooms and classrooms over at the Academy of Arts. That was my first summer job that I got. And guess what? I was happy making $1.60 an hour because I was not having to work at the cannery for $1.60 an hour where all my friends were. They were working in the cannery. And I remember them coming home. I remember picking up one of my friends. I said, dude, you smell, man. Jumped in the car. He smelled. For those of you old enough, you remember where which direction is it? Where Warehouse used to be? You guys drive down Nimitz Highway and catch that odor? Remember you said that really Hauna smell? I mean, it stunk. Well, the people that used to work in the cannery, that's how they used to come out smelling.
I didn't have to do that, right? In fact, when I worked at the Academy of Arts, guess what? The classrooms were air-conditioned, the bathrooms were air-conditioned, so I wasn't sweating. I was cleaning up in a nice, cool environment. I was grateful for that. And I think I used to get a, bring home a check for like, I think the check was like maybe $400 every 2 weeks or something like that. I forget what it was. I mean, I know it definitely wasn't more than $500. But hey, for a 15-year-old, that was a lot of money back then. But it taught me skills and habits that were necessary for me to progress to my next step, to my next job, and so on and so forth. That's how it works. We have to learn how to walk before we can run. And we have to learn to, we have to get into shape before we can start running half marathons or whatever it may be, right? It's a process. The same with us and our relationship with God. It is a process. When we get saved as babes, we don't know anything other than the fact that Jesus died for me, shed his blood, and I trust him 100% for my salvation. Now, the journey begins. Now, the learning process begins. So as we mature as Christians, perhaps we get wiser. We gain more knowledge. And because we gain more knowledge, we get wiser. And as we get wiser, we get discernment to know when to speak and when not to speak. But these are all parts of the growing process. These are all parts of going through boot camp. These are all parts of our Christian walk. And Elijah is going through that. So as I mentioned, it was a satisfying plan because Elijah was able to see the fulfillment of God's promises firsthand. And what we have to understand is that we may not like the situation in which we find ourselves, but if we know that God is going to take care of us, then we can be satisfied anywhere with anything. I know that's a hard thing to accept in this gimme, 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 self-satisfying, instant gratification type of society. But I can tell you this, it's not easy even for myself, right? It's like, I'll give you an example, just a small example. So you guys all know how hard I work not to work hard manually. How hard I work not to work hard physically. So I finally broke down and I have this super nice guy comes and cuts my grass. But because I've gone so many years of not taking care of my grass, my yard, I have all of these California grass in my yard. So even though he cuts it, it's gonna grow up again, right? So this morning, seeing as I was not going into the office, I figured before I jump in the shower, I'm just going to dig up all of the big California grass that was cut down. Easy to spot, so easy to dig out, right? So I told myself this, said, Hugh, before you jump in the shower, now you have a reason to jump in the shower because you're going to be sweating. So take 30 minutes out in the yard. And it was like 8:30 this morning. So nice and cool. Take 30 minutes and dig up as many of this California grass as you can. Guess what? I was able to fill up 2 5-gallon buckets with California grass. I was proud of myself. But I only give that illustration or example is because basically what I did was I just delayed gratification. Not to say that I like showering. I mean, sometimes I need to shower, but it was one of those things where I said, hey, you know what? You have the time. You have no excuses. Just do it. And here's the thought that was going through my head this morning was that if I do this for the next 2 days, because today I did it, tomorrow I will be here, and then for the next 8-9 days I'm gone, right? So if I just do it for 2 days in a row, I might get a lot of the California grass that's growing in my yard. And then when I come back, I can go finish up whatever's left, right? But the point is this. Sometimes when you approach an elephant, you cannot eat the whole thing in one bite. You gotta take small bites out of it. And that's what I did with my yard. I'll just take small bites. I knew the places where the California grass was the worst. The worst place was between my neighbor's yard and my yard. And it's a strip that I've been taking care of. Actually, half of the strip is hers and half of the strip is mine. But I take care of the whole thing. So that was the place where it was the worst. So I dug up these clumps of California grass. Pull them out. The root system is like this big. And when Hugh was taking care of my yard, the leaves of this sucker would be like this. I mean, they literally look like a jungle in my yard. So I know that, and you know what's fascinating about California grass? It's a weed, right? It's not something that you want in your yard. But guess what? Guess what grows the best in my yard? California grass. The good grass takes a long time to grow. The California grass, they just grow, man. So, hey, it's like sin, right? Take out a little sin. Make sure none get back in. But you just keep working on it. And that's basically what I'm doing with my yard. Just working on it, a little at a time. So, we see God's plan, right? The fact that it was a sovereign plan, it was a satisfying plan, but also it was a submissive plan. Notice verse 5. It says, so he went, this is Elijah, and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Interesting word there, dwelt. You know, it means to live, his dwelling place, right? Elijah wasn't going there for an overnight camping trip. He went to the brook and he basically set up a dwelling there. He planned to stay as long as God intended him to stay. Until God told him to go somewhere else. And sometimes what happens is that when we arrive at a place where we can submit 100% to the Lord's will for our lives, no matter how bad we might think it is, then we are on the path to help and blessing. Right? Imagine, folks, think about this. If you and I were to get totally out of control, I mean, totally allow our lives to be dependent on God and God alone, would it be worse or would it be better? I would venture to guess that most of us would say it would be better, right? Why? Because he loves us. He cares for us. He knows exactly what we need. And if that be the case, guess what? Who better to take care of us than him and him alone? Often we get in the way of God's will. We get in the way of God's sovereign plan. And hence, sometimes we go to multiple boot camps. But I will talk about the fact that a boot camp is not necessarily a bad thing. I'll get to that later. So, the question is this. I said that it was a submissive plan. What about you? Have you submitted to your brook chariot? Is God taking you somewhere into the wilderness? And are you fighting him? Or are you allowing him to lead, to guide, and to provide? You know, the whole purpose of God's plan was to help Elijah come to a place where he could trust God for one day at a time. You know, I know the 12-step programs use one day at a time, but if you think about it, there is a certain element of truth in that. In other words, I'm not going to drink for today. I'm not going to drink for today, right? You get through the day. The next day comes, I'm not going to drink for today. See, because oftentimes what happens is we plan so far out into the future that when step one gets messed up, the entire plan falls apart. Right? We have no contingencies. So for Elijah, he was just trusting God for today. God would provide, and he saw God provide. But if you, as I reread this passage of scripture, I wonder to myself, I wonder how Elijah felt that first evening. That first evening that he was at the brook by himself under the moonlight and the stars. Right? He's out there, no provisions. The only thing that he sees is this brook. So he's got his water, but no food. What was he thinking? And the next morning, he wakes up. His stomach is growling, rumbling. And then he sees this. Wah, 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 wah. I don't know if they dropped the food or they brought it to straight to him and dropped it in front of him. But these ravens fed him. He had his breakfast and he had his dinner. That was day one. All right. Elijah's thinking, God promised that the ravens would feed me. He didn't tell me how often, but God promised that the ravens would feed him. And they came twice today. I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. I wonder if they're going to come once, twice, or not at all. The next day comes. Like clockwork, you could set your alarm clock to these birds. Boom, once again. Dropping food on him. Goes to sleep day two. He's thinking, well, 2 days in a row. Let's see if it's 3 days in a row. Third day comes, same thing happens. Fourth day comes, same thing happens, right? Guess what? By the end of the week, he's expecting the birds to come. Right? It's like clockwork. God promised, and the ravens are doing exactly what God told him would happen. The brooks looking good, crystal clear, oral tasting water. You know, I'm looking forward. It's totally off track. I'm going to a place called Manitou Springs. And the reason why this place is called Manitou Springs is because that place has all of these underground springs. And my understanding is that each spring tastes different. So I plan on tasting at least 7 or 10 of these springs. And I'll let you know if they all taste different. But I digress. So Elijah is getting water. He's getting food, right? So as the days pass, God proved himself to be faithful and trustworthy. And guess what? Elijah was learning to walk by faith, right? The Bible tells us. In fact, go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Let's take a look at this verse. Paul writing in verse number 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." God was teaching Elijah to trust him, have faith in me. And That's what God wants from us, to be totally dependent on Him. He wants us to rest.